This is TuneIn.
TuneIn and podcast go hand in hand.
I'm Glenn Weldon. There's a lot to unpack on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour.
And this is TuneIn.
Since I've downloaded the app, I've gone crazy listening to TuneIn.
Here's a drive deep into right center field. Is it two home runs for Azdrubal? It is.
Music is everything to me on TuneIn.
This is TuneIn, too. Why don't you explore TuneIn today? Podcasts, sports, news, music, and more.
Live from the Publix Holiday Headquarters Studios. B98.5, 80s, 90s, and now.
What did you say? What you say? That you only meant well, when of course you did. What you say?
Jason Derulo.
WSBFM Atlanta is B98.5.
This is Perspectives, the show where we have a conversation about our differences only to learn how much more we have in common. I'm Condice Presley. My guest on the show today is a 15-time New York Times bestselling author, Ken Abraham. His latest book, No Address, the novel, shows how homelessness could happen to anyone. It is a gripping tale about a group of individuals who find themselves homeless due to unfortunate circumstances. The book delivers a most realistic portrayal of their fight for survival against gangs, vigilantes, and a less than compassionate community. Ken Abraham, welcome to Perspectives.
Honest, it is great to be with you today. Thank you so much for taking time to talk about this. I think it's an important subject, and it's one that we're dealing with in my hometown. I am assuming that most of the people who are with us today are probably dealing with it in their hometowns.
Exactly. And this is No Address, the novel, is part of a movement to raise awareness about people experiencing homelessness in America. There's a film and your book. How did you get associated with the project?
So it was really an interesting thing. The group was actually doing a across-the-country tour, a bus tour, visiting different homeless camps around the country. The film producers, script writers, and all the rest of that. And they came by Nashville, where I live. I live in Franklin, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville. And they said, well, would you come and meet with them? And I met with them, and they began to share a little bit of their vision and raising awareness about homelessness around the country. And actually getting involved with the people who are in those camps and living out on the streets and that sort of thing. And even before I saw the script, I said, I'm in. And then when they finally gave me the script to work with, I said, okay, this is even better than I thought it was going to be. So it was really a blessing to me that they came by Nashville.
So now talk to me about the collaboration efforts and the adaptation of the script into a novel, because normally it's the book and then the movie.
Yes. Yeah, this is an upside down kind of situation. I've done it before once or twice, but this was really different. And there was a script. We had an original script I had to kind of stay close to. The script, most movie scripts, as you know, are probably only 100, 125 pages. Our book ends up more than 300 pages. So they gave me some freedom to do some backstory, to fill in some of the reasons why some of these people are homeless, unexpectedly homeless, that sort of thing. But there was still at least a basic outline for me to follow, and I stayed relatively close to that. When the movie comes out, some people are going to say, okay, I see that in the book. Okay, that's different and that sort of thing. But they gave me great freedom, and it was wonderful to work with this group. They were just very experienced. One of the fellows who was a consultant for the movie and the book was a man by the name of Dr. Robert Marbot, who was part of the U.S. government, Health and Human Services, and working with homeless people for the last 20, 30 years. And so whenever I had a question, I could go to him and say, Dr. Marbot, what about this? What about that? And he was incredibly helpful. So it was a new experience for me. Like most people, I drive by the corners here in Nashville, and there are people on the streets with little, you know, tents and sleeping bags and other things like that. Sometimes I get upset. Sometimes I just get, you know, so sad. A friend of mine used to go by, and he would have a stack of dollar bills on his dashboard and $5 bills, and he would just pass out money almost at every corner in Nashville. Well, you know what? That's very noble of him, but that doesn't really help. And that's where Dr. Marbot really came in and helped me to get a better understanding of what we could do to hopefully help and make long-term differences in a homeless situation here in America.
No Address is inspired by true events. Can you talk to us more about some of the real-life stories that influenced the novel, and how did that shape the narrative and the characters you write about?
Sure. The characters are all people that we've all met. For example, one young lady, Lauren, is one of our lead characters in the story. She ages out of foster care. Her foster parent didn't want her to be there any longer. The money had been cut off. She said, you're out of here. And so that girl at 18 years of age had nowhere to go. Now, in some states, they've raised the aging out of foster care to 21, which is wonderful. Still, even at 21, a lot of times some of these kids are out on the streets. They've got nowhere to go. They wind up in drugs. Some of the young women wind up in prostitution. It's just a mess. This character was one beautiful young lady, bright, articulate, and she ends up out on the streets with a homeless group. Another group that we found was very, very common on the streets nowadays are military folks, people who have served our country with all their heart and you know, come back with all sorts of emotional issues and problems, post-traumatic syndrome issues and that sort of thing. And some of them are on the street. One of the characters is a female Marine who was in Iraq, and she allowed a little girl to go through her checkpoint, a little girl that had gone through her checkpoint many, many times before. But this time she went through her checkpoint and had an IED wrapped around her under her clothing, and it exploded right in front of a bunch of other Marines, killed a bunch of people. So this woman comes back home, and her family was a military family. She's depressed. She's discouraged. She had just given up on life, and she winds up out on the streets. She's one of our main characters in the story as well.
Did you face any challenges in conveying the emotional depth? I mean, these are the stories, just the two that you've described. And I know there's a group that is traveling together in this novel. How hard was it, if at all, to communicate the emotional depth and the harsh realities of their experiences in print versus what we can see in the film depiction of this story?
I think that really is the biggest challenge. Thanks for mentioning that, because, you know, truthfully, how many of us have gone by a homeless camp or something like that and say, these people just need to get a job? Well, that sounds good, but that's probably not going to happen for most of them, probably because at least 70% of the people in those camps have some sort of mental issue, some mental illness associated either with a drug addiction, alcoholism, or just basically mental illness. We used to have institutions in our country where we would put people who were mentally ill into a safe environment, and then we discovered that that wasn't so safe either. Well, now many of those people are out on our streets. So telling that part of the story was very, very challenging, because we wanted to give the reality of what these people are going through. On the other hand, you can't just say, well, let's just allow this group of people to overrun our downtown city parks and living out in church steps and in the municipal buildings and that sort of thing. You just can't allow that to go on. So that was a challenge for me. And years ago, I used to work in a Salvation Army in Lexington, Kentucky, while I was in college. And I remember seeing people coming in off the streets night after night. And I found myself becoming jaded. I found myself becoming insensitive to their need. And many of them had real needs. But on the other hand, some of them I'd see week after week. They were coming in. They'd have the same story. You know, they need money. They're trying to get to Florida to be with their families and all. And I said, come on, bud, you know, tell me a new story or something. And I found myself becoming very insensitive. And I did not want that to happen. I want to maintain that attitude and that perspective that these are all people made in God's image. Every one of them is important, that they have dignity and value. And even though they're going through hard times, that they still matter. And so that was the challenge I had in trying to convey both of those aspects in the story.
In addition to talking to Dr. Marbut, Ken, what other research did you do to accompany the source material you were provided for the book?
We had a whole raft of materials, to be honest about it. There is a study guide that the movie producers put out that they made available to me early on, some of the content of that. And it's a great study guide for church groups, for civic groups, and that sort of thing goes right along with the movie and the book. And so all of the research that they put into that and some of the people that they had contribute to that, writing on that, for example, the head of CityGate Network, which does a fabulous job. And for somebody looking for resources, and I have nothing to do with this organization, but I just want to tell you, they do a great job. CityGate Network, they've got all sorts of videos that are freely available online. All you have to do is you know, punch a button and you can get some insight and some help there. I gained a lot from that particular group. CityGate is just really doing a super job. Many other groups around the country are doing well. At the same time, it is an enormous problem, and it's not going to go away. Some people have already said places like San Francisco are gone. I mean, you don't dare hardly go downtown San Francisco anymore. And Sacramento, where much of the film was made and filmed in the city of Sacramento, it's almost dangerous to walk down the capital city of California these days down the streets in Sacramento because of the homeless situation. So it's not going to go away, and we have to deal with it in some positive ways. So the resources that the folks made available to me were really, really helpful to me. They were also insightful, because some of the ideas, truthfully, my family and I, we go to a great church here in Nashville. We've been involved in serving homeless people here. There's a group here called the Bridge Ministry. They've been working for 20 years under the bridge here in Nashville, downtown Nashville, for 20 years. Whether if it's 100 degrees outside or 13 degrees. We get that kind of weather here in Nashville every once in a while. They're there every Tuesday night feeding people and helping people to get reestablished. And of course, it's kind of like the old time Salvation Army. They give them a little gospel message and that sort of thing, encouraging people. But if you just come by and give somebody some money, give somebody a sandwich even, or even a meal, we're just putting a Band-Aid on a situation. We're allowing them to perpetuate their situation and stay in that camp or stay in that homeless situation. So Dr. Marbot was pretty emphatic about saying, we need to do more than that. We need to get them out of just that mentality of getting another sandwich and saying, okay, we're going to get these folks into some kind of program where they're going to deal with a drug addiction. They're going to be able to deal with the mental illness issues and some of the other issues. And then also to give them job skills so that they can get back out and start rebuilding their lives. It is possible. And that's the good news. Many people who have gone through homelessness can come out of that and rebuild their lives and get a fresh start. So there is hope.
From the veteran to the young lady who ages out of foster care to the husband who's just that one deal away from solving all of his family's problems. Is there one particular story in the book that you think will resonate with readers more than others?
Boy, each one of them is strong in itself, to be honest about it. And I didn't create those characters. They were given to me by the script. So I can't take credit for it, but they're strong. And the one that spoke to me was the Hollywood actress who has dementia, the early stages of dementia. And she had been a successful Hollywood actress. My mom went through dementia. I wrote a little book all about it called When Your Parent Becomes Your Child, because that's what had happened. My mom, the one who had put diapers on me, now I was putting diapers on her. So when I got to the story, and the character in the movie is acted by Beverly D'Angelo, who was in Christmas Vacation, you remember, she is the actress that does a superb job of portraying this person who was a successful Hollywood actress and now is living on the streets with this group that we were talking about. And my heart just was so torn up by that, because she didn't know. I mean, she was living in the past. She didn't know what she needed for today. But thankfully, there were a group of people around her that helped her to find food, also to have shelter, and even protected her until the last day of her life. And I'll not tell you what that is, but it was a shock even in the movie.
How do you hope the release of No Address, the novel, as both the novel and part of the Big Five movement, will impact our perception of homelessness?
Well, the Big Five movement is something you mentioned there, which is really, really important. The movie, the documentary, there's a whole hour and 30 minute long documentary talking about homelessness in America. Of course, the book is part of that, the study guide. And then there's also going to be an album. So there's going to be a lot of attention brought to homelessness this year. But our hope is that if nothing else, that it raises that conversation where good people like you and me, Con, to say, okay, we can't just allow this situation to go on. What can we do? The governor here in Tennessee, Bill Haslam, a couple years ago, former governor, I should say, wonderful man. And he gathered together a whole group of people one day. We were talking about foster care. And he had a great insight. He said, look, the government, we can fix potholes, but we can't fix hearts. We need the churches in our community to dive in there and help us with it. We need the civic groups to dive in and help us. We can fix potholes sometimes, but we can't fix hearts. We need people who can help fix hearts. And a lot of times that's the issue for many of the people who are in homelessness right now. They're so discouraged and so they've given up on life many times and they're just surviving. Yeah, there are some people, let's be honest. There are some people who say, no, I would rather live out on the streets. In my research, I discovered there were a lot of young people, which really surprised me. People college age, 20, 22, 24. You'd think, okay, you should be out there, you know, earning your college degree, getting a master's degree, if nothing else, getting a job someplace, who are more content to live on the streets. It's tough to convince them that there is a better way. But hopefully we can, and hopefully we can say, you know what, there's a better way than just surviving. You can actually thrive, and especially in America, you can. It's still possible.
How would you characterize the early response to both of the projects, the two that we're talking about now, the film and your book?
The book is the first to come out. The study guide was actually first for church groups and civic groups. That was actually the first element. The book is the second element. Then the movie will be the third. I think the biggest response I have seen has been of surprise. There's some people say, well, you're almost being too nice to these homeless people. You know, you're giving them, you know, an excuse to stay in a camp where they're just making a mess of the city. Little things. For example, a lot of the homeless people will cart around their possessions in a grocery store cart. Well, wait a minute. They didn't pay for that grocery store cart. Somebody, the grocery store bought that grocery store cart. So there is that kind of emotion that goes along with it. On the other hand, there is an understanding for a lot of people saying, you know what? These people are trying to survive. And our whole goal in this, the project and everything, is to say it could happen to anybody. And many Americans are just living paycheck to paycheck, we know, and are only just a few clicks away from having nowhere to go, having no place to live, having nothing to eat. And so it's not as outlandish as it seems. It could happen to anyone. One of the characters in our story, who is kind of a villain at first, and then you almost feel sorry for him at the end, was a real estate guy. And he wanted to smash that homeless encampment, bring in the bulldozers, clean that all out, get those people out of there. And he winds up homeless at the end of the story himself. So it can happen to anybody. And that's something for me to keep in mind. I know when I look at people, you know, somebody, a writer friend of mine, Tim Hansel, said, I'm sure somebody else said it as well, but he said, you know what? Be nice to everybody you meet, because everybody you meet is carrying a heavy load. And we are. And a lot of these folks are as well.
You talk about how the challenge is fixing hearts. We know how to fix potholes most of the time, but we can't fix hearts. With this effort, you're also trying to change hearts and our perception of those who are experiencing homelessness. How do you think that's going to work?
I hope it works well. I'm very idealistic and hopeful. I don't want to be naive, though. I have encountered the opposition in churches and in civic groups and saying, okay, these people just need to get off our streets, clean up that mess. Let's get a job. Okay, well, that's great if you are mentally competent to go get a job. The changing is not just in the hearts of the homeless people. It is in the changing of many of the hearts in our churches. And let's be honest, in our government, the government can throw millions and millions of dollars at this problem, and they've tried. And we see what the result of that is. It's just not very effective. Well, unfortunately, a while back, they kind of moved many of the churches and civic groups away from helping with some of these groups. And quite frankly, are taking away the very resource that many of the people who are homeless really need. So I think we need to change that aspect of it as well and say, okay, the government can't do this. We need good people who have a heart and who care, who are willing to sacrifice a little bit. And you know what? It's not going to happen overnight. The cities around America today that are actually making great inroads with fixing the homeless situation, it's long term. Here in Nashville, after all the years we've been dealing with it, we just this year got a homeless facility, but it only houses 92, has 92 units, and that cost us $35 million. So it is not going to happen overnight. It's going to be expensive, but we've got to get people off the streets and into a program that can help them. And that is one of the keys. That's where I see groups like the Salvation Army. These guys have been working with homeless people for years and years. Alcoholics, addicts, drug addiction. They have been working with those kind of folks for years. They know what to do. And so one of the best things we can do is to help them do what they do. Truthfully, as I said, I go to a great church here in Nashville. We have wonderful people, but I don't know what to do with somebody who is mentally ill. I don't know how to help somebody that is addicted to a drug. And boy, we've got so the pernicious drugs on our streets, fentanyl, that sort of thing nowadays, worse than ever. We really need some people who can help us. And the best thing we can do is help them. But not just on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day. That's when most people want to help, like the City Mission, you know, or the Salvation Army. I'm going to go serve some food. I've done it. I have done it myself. You know, and that's wonderful and that's noble. But guess what? They need help on March 1st. They need help on September 22nd. They need help on every other day of the year, too. And so if we can volunteer to help some of those groups, we'll be helping to make some inroads in this whole situation.
Ken, you're describing a need for the community to come together to tackle this challenge, from our churches to our community groups, a role for government and for us as individuals. What would you say is the overall call to action as a result of learning what we will learn from these stories in No Address?
Well, I think the primary thing is to care. And you know, sometimes we say, well, I've got so many other things going on in my family, in our own town here. We've got certain things going on. But this thing is big. It's big, and it's not going to go away. So if we just think and say, well, just let it go and everything will turn out wonderful. No, it won't. It will continue to grow in a way that's going to have negative impacts for all of us. So caring is the priority. You mentioned the government involvement. We need the government to help us. And probably one of the best ways they can help us is by putting some money into the situation to help local groups who are working with homeless people to create some places. We have a place here in Nashville, again, that just recently opened, where they have little small housing groups, okay? Tiny houses, almost like a camper almost, but it works and it gets somebody off the street. Now, if all you do is put a homeless person into a camper, you're okay, you still have somebody that's addicted. You have somebody that is mentally ill. You have somebody that's got a whole raft of problems and you're not dealing with it. So there has to be that wraparound idea that we're going to help you in whatever area that we can. First of all, of course, to get food and clothing, hygiene, you know, cleanliness, all those sorts of things, that all helps. But also to deal with, as I say, 70% of the people on our streets are mentally ill. We've got to help with that. And those addictions and other things can be dealt with, but it's going to take people who are there. A lot of times that means a residential program. And again, as I say, Salvation Army, City Gate, some of these other people are doing a marvelous job. So let's help them do what they do do best.
How did this project change you?
Well, it has. And thank you for even mentioning that, because it's given me more compassion. Okay. Most of my friends are religious. Not all are Christian or Muslim or anything else, but most of them have a faith, most of my friends. But this has challenged me to take the words of Jesus seriously, where he says, as you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. You know, there's a passage in Matthew chapter 25 in the Bible where the people come and they say, well, when did we help you? When did we visit you in prison? When did we, you know, feed you or give you clothing? He says, as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Wow. I mean, that decimates me when I think, okay, because the flip side of that, he also says, as you have not done it unto the least of these, you have not done it unto me. Okay, I can be a real good religious person. I can spout a whole bunch of stuff about the Bible and all these other things. But if I don't actually put my faith to work out there in the city streets, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a fraud. I'm a liar. And that's what that passage says to me. So yes, it did change me. And I can't just sit by and, okay, I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. What can I do? I write books. And so that's what I've tried to do with this project, to write a book that hopefully will help some other people get some ideas, say, okay, we can do that.
Ken Abraham's been my guest. The book, No Address, the novel, showing how homelessness can happen to just about anyone, available to all of us beginning on September 10th. There's already a study guide that's out. So if you're looking for something for your church, or if it's, you know, your book club, or what a great way to learn more and position yourself to do something.
Thank you, Connors. And folks can get more information at the website. www.noaddressmovie.com is the website. And incidentally, I didn't mention this, but it's so kind of the people who are heading up this project. They've committed 50% of the profits from the movie, the book, the record album, everything that they're doing, 50% of those profits, they are going to pour back into helping homeless people, the ministries that are helping homeless people in America today. So it is more than a book, more than a movie. We are actually trying to make a real difference in people's lives.
Ken, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Candace. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you.
Perspectives is a community and public affairs program produced with you in mind. If there's a guest or an issue you'd like for us to explore, just let me know. The easiest way to connect is via social media. Simply search my name, Candace Presley, on Facebook, Instagram, or X. As for how to spell my name, it's simple. Candace is an O, C-O-N-D-A-C-E, Pressley is two S's. P-R-E-S-S-L-E-Y. Friends, I so appreciate your listening. I hope you'll join us again next week at this same time as we explore new perspectives.
Kom til Black Week i Føtex. Lige nu kan du spare 25% på alle bøger. Få for eksempel Søvngængeren af Lars Kepler. Og vil du forkæle en, du holder af, kan du spare 25% på mere end 50 dufte. Eller mangler du en adventsgave, så kan du spare 20% på biografgavekort fra Smartbox. Vi ses i Føtex på Føtex.dk eller i din Føtex Plus-app.
Looking for an app to hear all your favorite music, news, sports, and more?
He's been president before. I know exactly
what
he has.
All of your audio all in one place, right here on TuneIn. Play your favorite stations, like Que Buena.
Mi corazón, muchas gracias por estar en sintonía, por comunicarse con nosotros.
ESPN Radio.
The ball out there, but the one thing DeMarcus does very well is he's a
The
really
Daily.
Paul, we have spent a lot of time over the past year talking about higher education.
And so much more. Whatever you love listening to, you can hear it all on TuneIn.
Your business needs a network it can count on.
Power's out.
Comcast Business has you covered with Wi-Fi backup to help keep your business up and running, even when your power goes out.
Everybody in the warehouse good?
Lights are out, but the Wi-Fi's up. Let's power on.
It's from the company with 99.9% network reliability.
Break room, you good?
Can't microwave my burrito, but Wi-Fi's fine. Let's power on.
Power on with the leader in connectivity, Comcast Business. Power and possibilities.
Learn how to get Comcast Business Internet, Security Edge, and Wi-Fi backup for $59 a month for 12 months with a 2-year agreement when you add Comcast Business Mobile Unlimited. Plus, for a limited time, find out how to get an $800 holiday bonus prepaid card with a qualifying gig bundle. Don't wait. Call or go online to ComcastBusiness.com today. Ends 12/15/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 300 megabit per second internet, security edge, and connection pro. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change.
Make your holiday season merry and bright at Magic of Lights. Presented by Atlanta News First. Create great family memories for everyone. Drive through the mile-long display with millions of festive lights featuring your favorite and classic scenes. Holiday Barbie, prehistoric Christmas, and the enchanting Tunnel of Lights. Experience Magic of Lights at Dixie Speedway. Now through January 4th. Tickets available now at magicoflights.com.
Is shopping for health coverage confusing? Georgia's got you covered. Georgia Access is our state's program for all residents to find quality, affordable health insurance. At GeorgiaAccess.gov, you can explore a variety of plan options. You may even qualify for no-cost coverage. Open enrollment is happening now. Visit GeorgiaAccess.gov today. Georgia Access. Health insurance. The Georgia way.
Want to win the holidays? Ulta Beauty has the hottest beauty gifts your family and friends actually want. I'm talking beauty gifts they'll be obsessed with, like wow-worthy exclusives from Tarte, Charlotte Tilbury, and Clinique that everyone will rave about, and luxurious fragrances from YSL, Valentino, and Ariana Grande. Of course, when in doubt, you can never go wrong with a gift card. Super thoughtful, yet super easy. Visit Ulta Beauty today to get all the best gifts for everyone on your list.
I'm with Family Services. With Christmas in 3 weeks, we have very limited options.
What does that mean?
Just look after them until I can find them a foster home.
Hey, dudes.
Your Uncle Michael.
Where's the nearest cell phone reception?
That way, about 10 miles.
What?
Got a fix, homie.
This holiday season.
Act like normal children. I'm trying to find you a good home.
Those delinquents hotwired a carnival ride.
Come on, seriously.
Ben Stiller.
I want chicken. Fresh chicken.
Oh, no. We're not going to do fresh chicken. You said her name was Elizabeth?
Delicious.
Nutcrackers, now streaming on Hulu.
Burton's Grill and Bar, now open in Buckhead, features boldly crafted American classics like crab-crusted haddock, superfood salad, and their Max Burger that's piled sky high. Plus, they accommodate food allergies and offer a gluten-free menu. Restaurant Nirvana, burtonsgrill.com. This Saturday and Sunday only at Old Navy, get $2 cozy socks in stores, plus 50% off gifts. Yep. Hurry in for $2 cozy socks in stores this weekend, only at Old Navy. Valid 11:30 and 12:01. Select styles only, limit 10 socks.
B98.5, 80s, 90s, and now.
finding ways to articulate the feeling I'm going through. I just can't say I don't love you, 'cause I love you. It's hard for me to communicate the thoughts that I hold. But tonight I'm gonna let you know. Let me tell the truth. Baby, let me tell the truth. Yeah. You know what I'm thinking. See it in your eyes. You hate that you want me. Hate it when you cry. You're scared to be lonely. Especially in the night. I'm scared that I'll miss you. Happens every time.
On B98.5 is brought to you by Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh.
And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah. known to give the color red the blues. Ooh, I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket. Keep up. So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket. Keep up. Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jacking. Keep up. Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky rings up to the moon.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe, so clear. Look out. Second verse for the hustlers.
Hustlers.
Gangsters.
Gangsters.
Bad bitches in your ugly old friends. I cannot preach.
Uh-oh.
I cannot preach.
Uh-oh.
I gotta show them how I pimp, get it in.
First,
take your sister, do your dip.
Dip.
Spend your money like
money ain't shit. Ooh, ooh. We too fresh.
Got to blame it on Jesus.
Hashtag blessed.
They ain't ready for me. I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket.
Keep up.
So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jacking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky rings up to the moon.
Girls, what y'all trying to do?
What y'all trying to do?
24 karat magic in the air.
They deserve. Merry Little Christmas is back, and we need your help. You can now purchase gifts from each chosen family's wish list at B985.com. With your help, we can make sure these families have a great Christmas.
It's all about the kids.
Merry Little Christmas from Breda Pest Management, Publix, Stone Mountain Park, and B98.5.
Thank you.
Help with the gift list now at B985.com.
There's a lot to listen to on TuneIn.
Perfect. Three down.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential.
But if you want to discover some new favorites, follow us on Instagram, X, and Facebook for all new recommendations. Who knows? You may just find your new favorite radio station.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to...
I don't believe there's ever been a cabinet secretary.
Follow us now and hear all the audio you love on TuneIn.
To see Meemaw and Pops, those are up. A $50 per month single line, that's down. Even a trip to the Atlanta Holiday Market will cost you more. But with Verizon, you can switch and bring your phone for just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. All this to say, during the holiday season, when everything is costing more, you can get more for less right now at a local Verizon store. $15 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It's AutoNation's Black Friday used car sales event. Now through Sunday only, take advantage of reduced prices on thousands of used cars, trucks, and SUVs. All makes, all models on sale. Domestics, imports, luxury, on sale. This is one Black Friday used car sales event you can't afford to miss. Hurry to the AutoNation store near you today or shop now at AutoNation.com.
Make the most of your holidays with the Kroger app. You can enjoy over $600 in digital coupons every week. Get access to low prices and earn fuel points to save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump. The Kroger app makes it easy to save this holiday season. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can get $20 off a Boost membership now through December 3rd. Enjoy streaming options, double the fuel points, free delivery, and more. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now open at Children's Museum of Atlanta, Wallace and Gromit. Get cracking. A brand new interactive exhibit based on your favorite characters. Blast off in Wallace's rocket. Test out some wild contraptions with Gromit. Design your own cracking invention and more. This special exhibit is open through January 12th and is included in the price of museum admission. That's Wallace and Gromit, plus six other exhibits of hands-on fun. Visit childrensmuseumatlanta.org to get your tickets to Children's Museum of Atlanta today.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit USPS.com/advantage.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the propane tank on your grill first before hosting a tailgate.
Let's fire up.
Here, let me try. Seriously, you didn't check the propane?
Who wants chips?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Salt and vinegar.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Shane Company is your go-to destination for high-quality fine jewelry gifts. Come find beautiful gifts at competitive prices, from dream engagement rings to tennis bracelets, engravable charms, and more. All in stock and ready to give. Shane Company, your friend and jeweler.
Live from the Publix Holiday Headquarters Studios. B98.5, 80s, 90s, and now.
Listen up, y'all, cause this is it. The beat that I'm banging is delicious.
Fergalicious definition, make them boys go loco. They want my treasures so they get their pleasures from my boats. So you can see me, you can't squeeze me. I ain't easy, I ain't sleazy. I got reasons why I tease them. Boys just come and go like seasons. Fergalicious, but I ain't promiscuous. And if you were suspicious, all that is fictitious. Pablo kisses. That puts them boys on rock. And they be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious. It's hot, hot, so delicious. I put them boys on rock, rock, so delicious. They want a taste of what I got. I'm Fergalicious. Taste. Fergalicious dip. Fergalicious dip. Fergalicious dip. Fergalicious definition, make them boys go crazy. They always claim they know me, coming to me, call me Stacy. I'm the F to the E, R, G, the I, the E, and can no other lady put it down like me. I'm Fergalicious.
So delicious.
My body stay vicious. I be up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious. It's hot, hot, so delicious. I put them boys on rock. So delicious. They want a taste of what I got. I'm Fergalicious.
Hold up. Check it out.
Baby, baby, baby. If you really want that, honey, get some fresh. Maybe then you'll get a taste.
I'm a taste, tasty. I'll be laced with lacy. It's so tasty.
All the time I turn around, brothers gather around, always looking at me up and down, looking at my. I just wanna say it now, I ain't trying to round up drama, little mama, I don't wanna take it. Man. And I know I'm coming off just a little bit conceited, and I keep on repeating how the boys wanna. But I'm trying to tell that I can't be treated like clientele, cause they say she delicious.
So delicious.
But I ain't promiscuous, and if you were suspicious, all that is fictitious. Pablo kisses. That puts them boys on rock, and they be lining down the block just to watch what I got.
Got.
The lion.
105 is WSBFM Atlanta. Feel good with the 80s, 90s, and now at work and anywhere you go with our B98.5 app.
I know it's a bad idea, but how can I help myself? Been inside for most this year, and I thought a few drinks, they might help. It's been a while, my dear, dealing with the cards life dealt. I'm still holding back these tears. Well, my friends are somewhere else. I pictured this year a little bit different. When it hit February, a step in the bar, it hit me so hard. Oh, how can it be this heavy? Every song reminds me you're gone, and I feel the lump form in my throat, 'cause I'm here alone, just dancing with my eyes closed. You get in a hole, or how can it be this heavy? Everything changes, nothing's the same.